Blog Talk Radio.
For radio as godless as our Constitution, tune in to Free Thought Radio.
You'll hear irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
And our special guest is Anu Garg, a former Hindu
who is wordsmith, writer, and creator of the popular international email list, A Word a Day.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. A World Health Organization, or WHO, appointed panel has urged bold action to end the COVID-19 crisis, while also calling for the UN agency to be given greater authority to react more quickly to future threats. Our message is simple and clear. The current system failed to protect us from the COVID-19 pandemic, said former Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, co-chair of the Independent Panel for Pandemic Preparedness and Response. She added that if we do not act to change it now, it will not protect us from the next pandemic threat, which could happen at any time. The panel also insisted that February 2020 was a lost month, because many more countries could have done more to contain the spread of the coronavirus once the WHO declared a public health emergency of international concern on the 30th of January after the initial outbreak in Wuhan, China. Among its recommendations, the panel advised high-income countries with adequate vaccine supply to provide at least 1 billion doses to the 92 low- and middle-income countries in the UN-led equitable vaccine scheme COVAX by September this year. A top UN envoy has added his voice to calls for calm in the occupied Palestinian territory, warning that the situation is escalating towards a full-scale war amid continuing airstrikes and rocket attacks. In a tweet ahead of a closed-door meeting with the UN Security Council on Wednesday, Special Coordinator for the Middle East Peace Process, Tor Wennesland, appealed to Palestinians and Israelis for an immediate end to hostilities before a devastating conflict breaks out. The appeal echoes a plea for maximum restraint and calm to Israel and Palestinians from the UN Secretary-General and several UN agencies and organizations, including OCHA, the Humanitarian Coordination Office. The development comes after weeks of clashes between Palestinian demonstrators and police in Jerusalem's Old City, fueled by the potential eviction of Palestinian families from the neighborhoods of Sheikh Jarrah and Silwan. Late on Tuesday, the UN reported that 10 children were among 28 killed in Gaza by Israeli airstrikes, and that two women had been killed in Israel after rockets were fired from Gaza. UN Humanitarian Coordinator for the Occupied Palestinian Territory, Lynn Hastings, urged all parties to adhere to the principles of distinction, precaution, and proportionality when using force. Top independent rights experts on Wednesday urged businesses in Myanmar to apply pressure on the military junta to halt grave human rights violations in the country since the coup. Tom Andrews, UN Special Rapporteur on Myanmar, said that some businesses had cut ties with military leaders following their 1st of February overthrow of the elected government, but many continue to engage in business with the military as if nothing has happened. Companies should act in line with the guiding principles on business and human rights to avoid contributing to human rights violations or becoming complicit in crimes if they continue to operate in the country, said Mr. Andrews, along with the Working Group on Business and Human Rights. Now into its fourth month, the crisis in Myanmar has seen near daily pro-democracy protests, which have been met by force from the authorities, claiming at least 782 lives. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is radio for the rest of us, those of us who are not religious.
And I'm Dan Barker, and I'm definitely not religious. This is Free Thought Radio for May 13th, 2021. We are hosting this show, recording this show, in the Landon Bierce Library in Freethought Hall, which is the national office of the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Madison, Wisconsin. Noah Gilfillan is engineering remotely from the recording studio Audio for the Arts.
And we are sitting here in our beautiful library at Freethought Hall in downtown Madison, Wisconsin, that Joel B. Landon and Wanda Y. Beers made possible. We have their photographs here with the Green Bay Packers sweatshirts, beautiful windows, and surrounded by Freethought books. So although we can't be in the Stephen Yule studio right now while it's being fixed up again, it's kind of a pleasure to record this from the library. And the Freedom From Religion Foundation produces this weekly broadcast and podcast. And if you're not acquainted with what we do and are, FFRF is the nation's largest association of freethinkers. That means atheists, agnostics, skeptics, non-believers, whatever you like to call yourself. And we have 35,000 dues-paying members, and we work to keep religion out of government. We have a legal department. We litigate. We just won an amazing lawsuit last week against Governor Abbott, who censored us.
In Texas.
We've taken over 70 lawsuits. We have ended hundreds every year of violations of religion and government through education and persuasion as well. And we work to uplift the image of freethinkers and acquaint the public with the views of non-theists. You can ask for more information or join us at FFRF.org.
Just like John Lennon said, we hope today you will join us. Annie Laurie, you and I spoke this week at the Conference on Religious Trauma. It's a virtual conference. It's actually still ongoing. We've talked about it in the past. And when you gave your talk, you started with a joke. You're always asking me to tell jokes on this show. So how about if you tell a joke?
I'll try. And I thought it was such a heavy topic, it might be nice to tell this joke, and it kind of segued into the topic. So I will do that, Dan, but will you be one of the voices?
One of the voices in the joke? Okay, I'll try it.
So, a woman is solo climbing on a mountain with rappels when she slips and somehow something goes wrong with her gear, and suddenly she finds herself dangling on a rope hundreds of feet above the ground. She starts screaming and yelling, "Help! Is anybody up there?" And a booming baritone voice from above calls down,
"I am here, my child."
And she looks up and she can't see anybody. "Where are you? Who are you?"
"I am God, and I can save you."
"Thank God I'm saved."
"Well, listen to me carefully, my child. I am going to save you, but first, you have to prove to me that you have total faith in me."
"How do I do that?"
"You do that by letting go of the rope."
So she looks up, she looks down, she looks back up, and she says, "Is anybody else up there?" So, of course, I pointed out that religion asks everything of people and gives us nothing in return. And people who are at the end of the rope, including those who have and are experiencing religious trauma, are like that woman.
People who are at the end of their rope, that's a good line. So, today we have a fun show. In the second half of the show, we're going to talk about words with Anu Garg. Anu Garg is the wordsmith, creator, and writer of the popular email list, A Word a Day, which has more than 400,000 subscribers in more than 170 countries.
And some of the FFRF staff here are subscribers to A Word a Day. That includes you, Dan. We know our daughter subscribes. We would not be surprised to learn that many of you listeners are also subscribers to A Word a Day. We just realized that Anu Garg has been a member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation since 2008. He's a listener to Freethought Radio. Thank you, Anu. So it'll be fun to talk with him, not only about not to talk to him about the Word of God, but about Word of the Day, and to learn more about him and why he no longer believes in Hinduism and is now a freethinker.
We have a TV show besides this radio show. Our TV show is called Freethought Matters, And our guest this week on Free Thought Matters is Megan Phelps Roper. She's a former member of the Westboro Baptist Church, the notorious Westboro Baptist Church, and she's the granddaughter of the founder of that church and the main pastor, Fred Phelps, of the church which has been called the most hated church in America.
Before Megan told us why and how she left the church during this interview, she described what it was like living in that community, so we have a little excerpt.
Growing up there, it was our whole focus was learning the Bible and what God required of us. And we understood that this was what it meant to love our neighbors as ourselves, to go and warn them of the consequences of their sins. So while it started being about the gay community, it really quickly expanded such that the targets of our church were everybody who wasn't part of our church. We viewed ourselves as kind of this island of truth in a, you know, as my grandfather would put it, this insane orgy of fag lies. That's how he put it.
And she's written a book about it. We hope to have her speak at our upcoming convention, if we're able to hold it, this November in Boston. And also, you want to tune in this interview because, Dan, she picketed you, and you have a photograph of
That's right, when I was doing a debate in Kansas.
So that's flashed on the screen.
So you can see that entire Free Thought Matters interview with Megan Phelps Roper. And you can also hear how and why she left. It's quite a dramatic story. You can see that. It broadcast this Sunday on the television in Chicago, Denver, Houston, Los Angeles, Madison, Minneapolis, New York City, Phoenix, Portland, Oregon, Sacramento, Seattle, Washington, Washington, D.C., and San Francisco.
And for stations and times, you can check fffrf.org/news. There's a drop-down for Free Thought Matters, but also you can just catch that interview right now, right after you listen to Free Thought Radio, of course, on FFRF's YouTube channel. Look for Free Thought Matters. You can also subscribe to Free Thought Matters so you get notices. So there is a lot of news to get to before we have our conversation with Anu Garg. We want to first talk about how FFRF is supporting the Health and Human Services proposal to expand family planning services again to reverse Trump's cruel attacks on Title X, which is the federal program providing family planning and other healthcare screening to low-income patients. So we submitted a formal response to that rule. We also have an action alert. You can find it on our website where you can get involved. And this is the action that ended up basically on unfunding Planned Parenthood. So we all know about that and how bad that was and how women's health care has been denied and endangered around the country because of that. Very important to get that rule enforced.
Then, the Freedom From Religion Foundation has joined more than 80 other organizations in calling for an end to the judicially created doctrine of qualified immunity. That doctrine shields state officials from liability for their misconduct, even when they violate the Constitution. The criminal killing of George Floyd by police officer Derek Chauvin has put a spotlight on this issue, but it goes beyond just police departments. This doctrine has hampered our ability at the Freedom From Religion Foundation to fight for civil rights, not just on issues of state-church separation and true religious freedom, but also discrimination on the basis of race, sex, and sexual orientation. So on May 10th, we joined a group letter explaining that qualified immunity is not a constitutional requirement, but an obstruction created by judges. Since we began at FFRF, we've been continually thwarted in correcting constitutional violations due to that doctrine of qualified immunity. So it's time for that to go.
So we also want to praise our new Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, and the State Department's so-called Religious Freedom Report. They have to issue that every year, so they did the report for 2020, because this time it includes non-believers. And it was announced yesterday, and there were many things that we were pleased about in terms of that report and announcement. It condemned Nigeria for jailing citizens for blasphemy. It noted approvingly that Sudan has repealed laws against apostasy. It highlighted Nigeria's continuing prosecution of blasphemy, but it also singled out a famous imprisoned Saudi atheist by name. That is Raif Badawi. saying authorities continue to jail human rights activists like Raif Badawi, sentenced to 2014 to a decade in prison and 1,000 lashes for speaking out about his beliefs. This is in Egypt. And for the crime of apostasy, he was later sentenced to even more lashes, 1,000 lashes and 10 years in prison. It started off at 600 lashes, and then they escalated it. And Badawi's wife, Ensef Hader, spoke very movingly about his case at our convention in 2018. She's very seriously worried about his health, how he's languishing. She received the $10,000 Henry Zumach Freedom from Religious Fundamentalism Award. And this also sort of corrected some of the things that the Christian nationalist who held the Secretary of State's position prior to Blinken had done. That's Mike Pompeo. And he sought to create a hierarchy of rights, putting religious freedom at the top and basically making it into a super right that would allow believers to violate other people's rights, free speech rights, assembly, the freedom to be free from governmental discrimination. So Blinken very clearly repudiated that, this idea that things are co-equal, that you can't put religion above everything else and then violate other people's rights for religious purposes. So good development there.
Our attorneys have been busy, as usual, sending letters of complaint, fighting state church separation, violations all over the country. And once again, we've had a violation in the city of Ringgold, Georgia. Over the years, we've dealt with Ringgold a number of times over many issues. So let's listen to a TV news story that quotes our attorney, Chris Line, from ABC9 in Catoosa County, Georgia.
What started as a good deed ended up creating a religious controversy at a local elementary school. I'm Kim Chapman.
And I'm Joshua. Catoosa County School received a donation of backpacks, but it was what was inside the bags that led one viewer to reach out to News Channel 9 wanting answers.
The Sabrina Maggiore shows us what was inside and why experts say it pushes a sensitive boundary.
We got an email from a concerned viewer that a Graysville Elementary School student was sent home with a Bible. Experts say this crosses the line between separation of church and state. Tonight we wanted to learn how this happened and why.
This purple King James Bible and this note asking students to, quote, visit them and become part of the Baptist Association family. That's what one Graysville Elementary student brought home in a backpack given to him by his teacher.
We would never intentionally send anything home, either politically or religiously motivated for any reason.
The school says they frequently receive donated backpacks and supplies.
We have about three or four different churches that actually donate backpacks.
The former associational missionary for the Catoosa Baptist Association told us the organization has done this for at least 10 years, donating around 100 backpacks a year filled with not just school supplies, but also Bibles.
In all that time, Bibles weren't found in the backpack? No, ma'am. This is the first time I've ever been told anything like this.
Nonprofit Freedom From Religion says the church and school crossed a line here.
What they're doing is promoting and endorsing religion, and the school, through allowing that or through working with that church, is also promoting and endorsing religion.
He says the school has a constitutional duty to maintain separation of church and state under something known as the Establishment Clause, and that even though the school may not have been aware...
You can't plead ignorance as an excuse when you violate the law. Public schools have a constitutional obligation not to promote religion and to protect the rights of conscience of young and impressionable students.
He says now the school has a responsibility to make sure it doesn't happen again.
I've already spoken to my counselor that generally handles those things and asked her to make sure that she thoroughly checks the backpacks from now on.
A responsibility the school says they're taking seriously. Reporting in Catoosa County, I'm Sabrina Maggiore, News Channel 9.
So that's a victory, isn't it?
We hope so.
Because they said they are embarrassed about it and that it won't happen again. So
apparently it had been going on for years.
And finally somebody complained. So it pays to complain. So before we take a break, very quickly we're going to talk about the National Day of Prayer last week. And we have sent out a letter to Mississippi Governor Reeves complaining about the promotion of prayer and religion on the National Day of Prayer. He actually did a prayer. Secretary of State Michael Watson claimed that we are living in the end times. And another speaker, Patty Harrington of the Mississippi Day of Prayer Capitol, was calling on God to convert the Jews to Christianity, and many others were leading prayer in Christianity. So we complained, we sent a letter saying that a secular government does not have the right to enforce or to impose religious values upon all of the cities. So we're going to take a break right now, and after we come back, we're going to hear a song about being proud to be an atheist. And then after that, we will speak with Anu Garg, the creator of the popular A Word of Day, A Word a Day email list. So I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more Free Thought Radio.
This is Janine Garofalo. Are you tired of right-wing politicians who desperately want to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us? I know I am. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Join the fight and call the Freedom From Religion Foundation toll-free at 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation website at ffrf.org. That's www.ffrf.org. Proud to be an atheist, Janine Garofalo.
Margaret Sanger's motto was, "No gods, no masters." This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. And Annie Laurie is fighting allergies right now, so I hope your voice holds out here. That reminds me of the Yip Harburg song, you know, the lyricist who wrote Somewhere Over the Rainbow. He wrote a little poem. I forget the title of it, but it says, "Mother, mother, tell me please, did God who made the flowers and trees also provide the allergies?"
Yeah, and it's such a beautiful time of year, and many of us have allergies to tree pollen, me too.
So we have a number of essay contests, you know, high school, college, grad students. We also have an essay contest for law school students, and now we're having our third annual essay competition for law school students. And if you are a law school student or know somebody or there's a law school in your area, help to publicize. Students in law schools are invited to submit a no more than 1,500-word essay on the dangers of adopting a broad history test to justify violations of the separation between state and church. There's $10,000 total in prize money, $4,000 for first, $3,000 for second, $2,000 for third place, plus discretionary awards for honorable mention.
Of $500, that's not too discretionary.
Yeah, well, and so it could be a lot of them. The deadline is midnight on June the 15th. So,
if you want to find out more about it, you have a law student in your life, you are a law student, or you have a law school in your area, you go to the FFRF's website, FFRF.org, and there's an events and outreach drop-down or a link, and the drop-down includes student essays. So there's five of them advertised, so look for the law student one. There are other essays coming due. The high school essay is coming due June 1st.
One thing that religious people often do not understand is that for many atheists, our lack of belief can be just as special, just as precious to us as their belief is to them. Being a non-believer can be an identity to be proud of. In a similar way that being a vegetarian is not just about not eating meat, it's about what you do eat. Well, so most atheists are concerned about more than just not believing in God. Atheism, by removing the hindrances of religion, can empower you to focus on what is important in life.
And Sherry Matulis, a longtime feminist atheist member of FFRF and a very dear friend who lived in Peoria, Illinois, who died in 2014, wrote a poem expressing how proud she was to be an atheist. It's called Benediction, and Dan set that poem to music.
Pride goeth, so the Christians say, before a mighty fall. But me, I've never felt that way. I never stand so tall as when I say I'm proud to be an atheist. Oh yes, it helps me stand for so much more and fall for so much less. So the Christians say, before a mighty fall. But me, I've never felt that way. I never stand so tall as when I say I'm proud to be an atheist. Oh yes, it helps me stand for so much more and fall for so much less.
Darling arrangement you did for that. You can kind of see a monk throwing off his robe. And
well, do you know the music I was kind of basing it on? Since she talks about stand for so much more, there's a Christian hymn called Stand Up for Jesus.
Like
so there's
that.
A little bit of that song to it.
Well, Sherry Matulis is featured in the anthology of women freethinkers that I edited called Women Without Superstition. She is well known for her very dramatic, it was an amazing expose about what it was like to undergo an illegal abortion in 1954 in Peoria. It was after a very brutal rape by actually a religious fanatic, and how she nearly died having the illegal abortion.
Well, didn't he cut a cross on her?
He cut a cross on
her
body? Abdomen. And
wow.
He did this to other people, other women. And it first was published by the Progressive magazine, and then Sherry is featured in films, pro-choice films. She testified before Congress, a great advocate for women's rights, and free thought, a great atheist.
And a great song that she wrote, very succinct. So we're going to take a break. Stay tuned. We're going to come back and talk with the author, Anu Garg. He's the founder of wordsmith.org and creator and writer of the popular A Word a Day email. I'm Dan Barker with co-host and co-president Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be back with more Free Thought Radio.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no religious body seeks to impose its will, directly or indirectly, upon the general populace.
Let's restore respect for America's secular roots. Help the Freedom From Religion Foundation defend the wall of separation between state and church. Join us at ffrf.org. Freedom depends on freethinkers.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Free Thought Radio is composed of words, thousands of words. And in fact, everything that we do at the Freedom From Religion Foundation, our newspaper, TV show, books, legal briefs, press releases, is words, words, words.
And today we're going to talk about words. We're going to talk with an expert on words. In fact, he coined a word that is now in the American Heritage Dictionary, and we'll ask him to tell us about that. Anu Garg. He's an author. He's a public speaker. He started out as a computer scientist working with AT&T, but he is now known all over the world for being the founder of Wordsmith, and that's wordsmith.org. And he's the creator and writer of the popular A Word a Day email that is sent to hundreds of thousands of subscribers in almost 200 countries.
Anu Garg's books, include A Word a Day, A Romp Through Some of the Most Unusual and Intriguing Words in English, Another Word a Day, An All-New Romp Through Some of the Most Unusual and Intriguing Words in English, and The Doored, The Diglot, and An Avocado or Two, The Hidden Lives and Strange Origins of Common and Not-So-Common Words.
So I don't know if it's diglot or diglot. We'll have to ask him how it's said. So and yesterday when I was driving our daughter to work, I told her that we're going to be interviewing Anu Garg. She says, oh, I know who that is. I get that word a day. And so do I. So we're really happy to have Anu Garg on the phone today from the Seattle area. Thank you for joining us, Anu.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we didn't realize until just now that you have been a member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation for many years, since 2008. And how did you hear about the Freedom From Religion Foundation?
Well, around that time, actually, August 2008, there was a billboard here in the Seattle area. And I had not seen the billboard, but I read about it in the Seattle Times. And it mentioned it was sponsored by some organization called FFRF. I had never heard of it. But around that time, I was going through deconversion, so to speak. And I was looking for any organization where I could feel at home. Yes, there is a place for people like me. And I went to the website and I immediately signed up. And I have been a member ever since.
Thank you. And that is so cool because that was one of the first billboards that we put up. And I remember I worked with a very enterprising young man in Seattle who had seen a good place for...
Mike Christensen,
who'd seen a good place for a billboard. And we did get a lot of members from that. And that's a really cool story.
So then, coincidentally, and we didn't know this until I talked with you this week, your daughter, Ananya, entered our high school essay contest, and she won second place. When you said that when she was in junior high school, her mom asked her, "What do you want for Christmas?" And she said, "I want to get rid of religion." So that's really nice. And I remember that essay too. I think her essay was the first time I learned that how Ganesha got the head of an elephant. So that was very informative. So why did you leave Hinduism?
Well, I was raised as a Hindu, and you know how it works. You just go along with whatever you are taught as a child without critically thinking. And around in early 2000, I noticed that people who talk the most about God, people in public life, presidents, and people in my personal life, the people who talk most about God did the most ungodly stuff. And I started thinking about it, and that was my mistake. Once you start thinking about it, you realize it all does not make sense. And one day I realized that, yes, there is absolutely no basis for any of these myths. And I decided to call myself agnostic, but that was only for a very brief period, and then finally I realized, no, I am an atheist, and I'm a proud atheist.
Well, we just played a song about being a proud atheist in an earlier segment. So you must have some consternation over Prime Minister Narendra Modi, the Hindu nationalist, right now.
Yes, unfortunately, and a lot of people do not see it. They see him as a savior, and I tell them that right now you are thinking that he's on your side, so religion is good to impose religion by government. But imagine if somebody from a different religion was the prime minister. How would you feel about it? But people don't think that long term, or they don't want to think about it. They say, right now, our guy is in the top post, and that's good. And it's showing up. I mean, you can fool people, but you cannot fool a virus. Huh.
So in India, there's like millions of gods. You couldn't find one of those gods that you thought was good enough out of a, what is it, 300 million gods to choose from?
Yes, so actually, when India became independent after the British rule, 1947, at that time, the population was about 330 million. So the going joke was that every Indian is a god or a goddess. Huh. So in India, it's a buyer's market. A lot of gods to choose from. Each god specializes, or goddess, in certain jobs. And you know, India, there are lots of holidays, religious holidays, including Christmas and Ramadan. All these are official holidays. So, like, you have 330 million gods and goddesses, and what is one or two more? Jesus, sure, bring him in. Especially if it gives you another holiday. Why not?
Well, that's a million a day, I think, for the year.
Well, Robert Ingersoll used to say he was willing to share in everybody's holidays, just don't give him the supernatural part.
Yeah. So let's talk about words. You're probably one of the world experts on words. And you started off as a computer scientist, but now you're known for your writing and your words. Do you remember what your very first word was for a word a day?
Yes, I do. It was zephyr, which is a west gentle breeze, west wind.
A zephyr,
and,
yeah.
Yes, and incidentally, it starts from the last letter of the alphabet.
Huh.
So I started that when I was in graduate school studying computer science in the early 90s, and this new thing, World Wide Web, came along. And I thought it would be a great way to share my love of words with people. And I continued doing this after I graduated and started working for AT&T Labs. But eventually, I felt I was doing two jobs, wordismi.org, my hobby, and my corporate job. But there was only so much time in a day. So I had to make a decision, and I decided to focus on spreading the joy of words.
Huh. Well, you have spread the joy, and a lot of people I've talked to about this interview today said, wow, you're having him on the show. So you coined a word that has made it into the American Heritage Dictionary. Can you tell us what that word is?
Yeah, it's called linguophile, which is a word for someone who loves words and languages. So there's already a word in the language called logophile, which is somebody who loves words. But I felt we needed a word that is more comprehensive, includes language and words. So I said, well, language is a very democratic thing, English language especially. There is no committee which says, and you can have this word or not. So, sure, why not?
Hmm. So, linguophile, like linguistics, it's about language. And, you know, Steven Pinker is one of the editors there, the American Heritage Dictionary. So he must have had a part in accepting that word to go into that dictionary. So
Anu, what is your word for today, May 13th?
Today is a kind of everyday word, but what is interesting about this word is its origin. The word is sleeveless. So literally without sleeves. But what is more interesting is the metaphorical meaning, which means unprofitable or without success. futile. And it has the whole, the knights in shining armor and lady love. So in ancient times, a lady would give her detachable sleeve to her knight, and he would carry it as a symbol of her love. So if a knight did not have a sleeve, he was sleeveless. So since then, we have had this word sleeveless to mean without success, unprofitable, and so on.
So you're learning a lot about origins and history all the time, huh?
That's what I find about words, that even the most ordinary, everyday word, once you know its history, you'll find it has fascinating stories to tell. I mean, just like people, you meet someone on the street, and he or she may be the most plain-looking person, and you might think, what could be interesting about them? But once you talk with them, once you know the journey they have taken to reach where they are, you will find that there is no uninteresting person. And to me, it's the same with words. So you take an everyday word like window, you know, where the word window came from. It comes to English from Old Norse, the Nordic language that was the ancestor of the languages they speak in the Scandinavia today. So in Old Norse, window meant wind's eye. I mean, you open this eye, and the wind comes in. I mean, how much more poetic can you get?
Well, I think that's a very nice philosophy you have, you know, that when you get to know the word, you get to know the person, you know how interesting they are. Well, we have to take a break.
So we're talking with Anu Garg, the creator and writer of A Word a Day. And after the break, I want to ask you, Anu, more about wordsmith.org. What other offerings you have there dealing with words? So we're going to take a break. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Hang on. We'll be back with more Free Thought Radio.
And remember, a word a day keeps banality at bay.
Hi, I'm Steve Pinker. In my book, Enlightenment Now, I show that the world has become a better place as reason has been overcoming superstition and tribalism. But the values of the Enlightenment are under attack. That's why I'm a proud member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest association of free thinkers working to keep state and church separate. Please join me in supporting the Freedom From Religion Foundation to ensure that our government is driven not by religion, but by reason.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. Welcome back. And we're continuing our conversation with Anu Garg. He is the creator and writer of A Word a Day, which many of you get in your email inbox every morning.
And you might not have known that he's a non-believer.
And he's also the creator and founder of wordsmith.org. And there have been many stories about Anu over the years. The New York Times ran a story called A Word of the Day Keeps Banality at Bay. You can look that up. Also, there's a great story with a good picture in India West just a couple years ago. 25 years and counting, engineer turned wordsmith Anu Garg continues to spread the magic of words. So, Anu, a word a day is part of a larger project of yours called wordsmith.org. Tell us, what is Wordsmith?
Wordsmith.org is a community of people who enjoy language and words. So we have a lot of different services. Word a Day is one of them. We have an anagram server. Anagram, you take a word or a phrase, and you rearrange its letters to make a new word or phrase.
Dan,
and you can do it
that
on paper, but we have the server, we can type a letter and it will show you thousands of anagrams.
And
we have pangram.
Oh.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, I was just, he's such an anagrammer. He's nodding his head that he's familiar with
well,
that.
Well, my favorite is senator and treason. Those are my favorite anagrams.
And, what else does Wordsmith do?
And then pangram. What's a pangram?
Pangram is a sentence that makes use of all the letters in the language. And the best-known pangram is the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Huh.
I was curious. I mean, this is a made-up pangram. What pangrams naturally occur in books, for example, Shakespeare or Harry Potter? So I created the pangram finder. You can copy and paste the text of a whole book, and it would go through it, and it would show you the pangrams that naturally occur in the book.
Wow.
Wow.
Do you have any, I mean, can you off the top of your head talk about any in Shakespeare? What have you found?
Sure. Shakespeare. So I have here, I'm looking at one from Merchant of Venice, Lorenzo. He says, hold here, take this, tell gentle Jessica, I will not fail her, speak it privately, go gentlemen, and so on. So it's 157 letters long.
Uh-huh.
So unlike the quick brown fox, I mean, naturally occurring pangrams have to be longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Unless you got really, really lucky. So, and then you also have it's like a newspaper called the Anagram Times, where you take news stories. What is that?
The Anagram Times is a satirical newspaper. It takes headlines from news, and then it anagrams them. Whatever is happening in the world, Liz Cheney or Trump or whoever, and we have reporters, we call them reporters, all over the world. They take headlines, and they make anagrams, and they send us, and we publish them.
Huh. Have you ever done that, Dan?
Well, I've never done long anagrams like that, but I've looked at your page and it's really hilarious because some of the anagrams are commentary on the story itself. So it's pretty creative what they come up with.
And then I understand you do some live chats with authors. How does that work?
Those are currently on hiatus, but I have invited authors and thinkers for live chats with our readers. So we have had, in fact, Steven Pinker and, for example, John Simpson. He was the chief editor of the Oxford English Dictionary, now retired. Richard Lederer and many other people. Yeah.
So wordsmith.org, right? So any of our listeners can go there and they can just jump in to their heart's content.
So we understand that you, Anu, will invite Jehovah's Witnesses into your home. So why do you do that?
Well, I'm not religious, but I'm still very interested in religion and in learning why people believe what they believe. So if I hear a knock on the door and it's a Jehovah's Witness or Mormons, I would open the door, I would invite them in, and they are actually surprised because most of the people, they just ignore them. And I would chat with them and learn about where they are coming from and share some verses with them. So it's a fun discussion, and I believe that many people are in bubbles, and by talking to a non-religious person who is respectful and who at the same time not shy from showing them what is in their verses, I hope that they get to think about it and they see there is more to it than what they have been told.
You went to the Mormon temple in Salt Lake City. Did you do something like that there?
Well, so there is the headquarter in Salt Lake City, and there's a big temple, the main temple. And unless you're a Mormon, you cannot go inside the inner sanctum. But they have a visitor center. So I was there, and they have different exhibits. In one place, they had books, the Book of Mormon, in different languages. And the person who was sitting there, he says, he saw me, and he says, you know, we have the Book of Mormon in your language. He said, you have the Book of Mormon in English? he said, no, I mean, where do you live? Or where do you come from? I said, I'm from Seattle. And he said, well, where were you born? So I said, India. So he said, we have the Book of Mormon in Indian. I said, Indian. I'm pretty sure you don't. I mean, I knew what he meant, and finally I decided to put him out of his misery. So I said, look, India has hundreds of languages, but there's no such thing as Indian language. You probably meant Hindi. He said, yes, Hindi. So I said, can you show it to me? He said, I don't have it right now, but we can send it to you.
Well, Anu, we're out of time here. I'm sorry I have to interrupt you. So maybe we can talk about that on one of your author talks on wordsmith.org.
Thank you so much for your word of the day and for being a member of FFRF and for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And that's our show for today. Anu Garg is the founder of Wordsmith and the creator of A Word a Day. And we want to thank listeners in Philadelphia and New Jersey, listeners in Madison, Wisconsin, in Janesville, Wisconsin, in College Station, Texas, listeners to KEOS, in Columbia, Missouri, KOPN, KEPW in Eugene, Oregon. We have listeners in San Marcos, Texas, in Bellows Falls, Vermont, New Hampshire, in Ithaca, in Watkins Glen, New York, and of course many thousands of podcast listeners around the world. And if you want to invite your friends to listen to our show, direct them to our webpage, ffrf.org/radio.
And ask for more information about the Freedom from Religion Foundation or join us at ffrf.org. And you can tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday